Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Elisa.
My name's Liz. Hello, girl.
Hey.
Hey.
Oof.
How are you?
So,
yes.
Oh, I'm good. But it's been pretty good, yeah. I didn't actually sleep a lot last night. But I feel okay, feel fairly rested.
Good.
So that's a plus. I'll probably take a little nap. Now, today is another game day, if anyone's been watching the
I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Did Colombia play recently?
No.
Oh.
Well, not the women's team.
Okay.
Not the women's team.
I was kind of hoping, because it tells you how much I follow sports, because I don't know where I was walking, but I saw all these people with Colombian jerseys, I think for the soccer team. I guess maybe if they have, because God only knows, if they have a women's team, it doesn't mean the team of cooks and cleaners. If they have a team.
You did not just do that.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did, because I can make fun of my people. I saw a bunch of people in jerseys, and they weren't even inside the bar. They were outside the bar. We are crafty people, aren't we? No, they were in front of the bar looking through the window. I'm not kidding. To see the game. Now, I'm gonna be fair and say that the bar was so packed, there was not room for them. Okay. But I thought that was kind of funny. And I saw these people in jerseys, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if Colombia's playing. And I didn't think so, but I wanted to, because you're the expert. So who are they playing? Yeah. Anyway, so yay, go Colombia. Really funny. They're out in front of the window. Well, you know, that's a good way to save money. So who have they been playing, and who are they playing coming up? And
that's
our sports, soccer corner. Sports corner.
Well, thanks, Liz. Great to hear. It's a crazy time here outside of standing. No, I'm just kidding. So everything's happening in France for the Women's World Cup in soccer. Women's World Cup, yes. And the U.S. has made it now to the semifinals.
Oh, that's good.
Well, is that right? Is that it? Yeah. Well, they're semifinals. So they're playing England today at 3:00, and So we're down to the last. This is like the next to the last game. If we win, then we move to the final. So then we have to play either Germany or the Netherlands. So it's almost done. This tournament's almost done. It's been gone for almost a month. And the big game, though, was, well, up until now, the big game that everyone had been kind of anticipating, if everything worked out the way it was supposed to, we played France, the host nation, this past Friday, and France was heavily favored to probably beat us because they're playing on home soil. They've been doing really well.
Sure.
And it has been a good match. We have some of the most controversial people on our team.
What does that mean?
Having their own, well, meaning there's one person, Megan Rapinoe, who is, you know, an out athlete, and her personality. There are a lot of big personalities on the team, but hers especially. And back in the day when Colin Kaepernick of the NFL was protesting and kneeling during the anthems, during the national anthem, she started doing the same thing. She's the only one to do that.
Oh wow!
And so half the people who don't like that sort of thing. Oh, she's disrespecting the flag, and you know, who completely missed the point, in my opinion. don't like her.
Absolutely.
And think that
that's so
it's a
ignorant.
Shame that she's that she is, you know, she's wearing the she's representing our country and she is disrespecting, you know,
that's a, no,
the flag.
That's so
and,
ignorant. No.
So she has now, because I think the Federation has said, you know, you can't kneel. So she doesn't put her hand over her heart. She doesn't sing. She stands, you know, at attention, but just, you know, doesn't, she doesn't put her hand over the heart and she doesn't sing. And it's obviously a big deal still for those people because she's not complying.
Oh,
she's
my
not
God.
Kneeling. But she's, you know, it's on it's on national television. It's being televised,
and we can see her, right?
That she is, yeah, she's unpatriotic or she's un-American, whatever.
That's such BS.
And then a few months ago, I think it was the beginning of the year because everyone was gearing up for this tournament. This was, again, this is like in January. Someone had asked her, someone in the press asked her if she, if they would go to the White House. If they won the World Cup. Now, when they won the World Cup 4 years ago, they got a call from President Obama, and then he invited them to the White House, which most teams, especially not just like, you know, football teams, but teams representing the country, if they do really well, they usually do get an invite to the White House, and it was as a big congratulations and all that. So they were very excited when they got to meet President Obama.
Oh my
so
God!
So this time around, they were asking, and she's like, you know, like I'm not effing going to the White House. You know, if you know, I'm not going. If we win, I'm not going to get in the White House. So it's not that different. There are quite a few teams, maybe not on the national, you know, representing the country type level, but. There are a lot of teams who are thinking, well, I don't think I'd want to go if we won the Super Bowl, I'm not going to go. So anyway, that resurfaced last week, just before their big match against France, and so President Trump, you know, tweeted out, you know, just finally got the memo that she had said something like this, you know, months ago, and started to, you know. Yeah, so he got in. So it's kind of revived it, and but you know she scored two goals.
Go queen! Yes, work.
So, and she's no stranger to kind of being that person.
Mm-hmm.
Very outspoken, but
living
she,
her truth. I mean, that's Joan of Arc did. You know, live your truth, girl. Good for her.
She's someone that. It's interesting because I'll have people on Facebook again. Where I grew up, I do have a lot of friends who are very conservative and
sure.
You know, like go USA, but not her. Like we don't like her. Or
oh,
in fact,
you know,
some, yeah. It's, I mean, and for me, I can't argue with them. I'm not going to because that is their opinion. That is their opinion. It's like me saying that I don't really agree with my president. I'm fine, but it's interesting if you get too caught up in a lot of the comments. Now I have an app on my phone to kind of keep up with what's happening, not just in the World Cup, but just in sports in general, just so I can just find out, okay, if I don't have time to watch all the games or whatever, I'll just get an update, and it's Yahoo Sports. Now, most of the people who comment on any articles written in Yahoo Sports are probably middle-aged white men.
Oh.
And yeah, so they're not big fans of the soccer team, even
oh
though we're
God.
Doing really well. So, but you know, and it's something that they're used to, that they've been kind of used to, because she started this is like in 2016. So already after they won the World Cup, And it's something that a lot of them have chosen because they now have that kind of attention.
Right.
So it's like when people get upset, oh, they, you know, Hollywood should stay out of politics or celebrities should stay
right.
out of politics.
Right, right,
that's
right.
Like saying, you know, but you can't be a multifaceted person and have an opinion. And,
right.
Well, then you, sir, should stay out of politics too. So, you know, don't
right.
comment.
Right, right.
everyone will use a platform if they can. If you can get on a platform, then use it. So that's what I find is very interesting. So I'm hoping they do well. I was really concerned about the France game because France had a really, they've got that home field advantage, and
right.
and they were looking really, pretty sharp. But obviously this game, and if we can make it, I mean, that's the whole point is that once you're beat, you're beat, and you're done. So we're hoping to make it to the very end, and England. Is a really good side. So we'll see what happens. But that's what I'll be doing later today.
And do you watch it at home, or do you go like meet friends and watch it someplace, or?
Because it's in the middle of the day, I've not gone out to do that. In fact, when we played France, I was working, I didn't have a chance. I don't know yet. So today we'll see. I don't normally go out to a pub or a bar, but I've got some friends who do. So I'll catch up with one of my friends and see if he's going to do that, because he has a place that he likes to go. But I have to make that decision early on, because I'm not going to get stuck in traffic. It's one of those, I'll just watch it at home. But last Friday,
nice.
I was on the top of a mountain trying to get a signal so I could stream it.
Oh, how funny. You must have been like, damn you, nature.
Well, I knew I was looking at our schedule, and before the one of the wineries where we stopped for lunch, they're huge soccer fans. So they actually were going to have the game on downstairs.
So you were with your
and,
people. Nice.
Well, yeah, but I wasn't going to be there. I was there for lunch, and I wasn't going to be there 3 hours later when the game started. So, So I had to just suck it up and say, well, I hope I can have a chance to kind of get a good enough signal that I can stream.
Right.
So I did. And I was on top of this mountain at this. In fact, one of the wineries we go to has a military pavilion. The owner is, I think, ex-army, and he has a little pavilion. So for say Memorial Day or Veterans Day, they may have a little ceremony. They have all the flags up for the different.
That's nice.
It is. It's like it's a beautiful setting. So that's because of its location. Out of every place on that property, that's the only place where I get reception. So
oh, isn't that funny?
I'm up there.
You're so patriotic.
I am.
God bless America.
Cheering on.
You did not take a knee. You did not take a knee. You can watch your game. You did not. Nope. You sang loud and proud.
So here I am, like, cheering because we scored early. And here I am yelling at the top of my voice, you know.
Oh, my
and
God.
Like,
on the mountain, okay. Yelling like a crazy girl.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. So
how cute.
I've enjoyed it. It's been really good competition. I think a lot of the rest of the world is caught up with or surpassed this, because honestly, you know, we definitely have some weaknesses. So it's been a very interesting time. Now over the weekend, I did see some matches with some friends at their house, and that's been fun. So I think regardless, I'm pulling for us to win today.
Yeah.
But then tomorrow that's the next game, not for us, but it's another game deciding who's gonna make it to the top.
Wow.
But over the weekend is the big games, the final, like who places first, second, and third.
Uh-huh.
So Saturday, I've got some friends coming in town for the weekend, and I think the plan is to go up to the wineries. But because the third place match is at 3, or is at 11, I think we're gonna watch it here or somewhere, you know, before we head up to the wineries, and then.
Nice.
So that's the plan. It'll be a fun day of soccer and then some wine, and then Sunday is the final. So if people are following, hopefully it'll be USA.
Well, you let us know.
It'll
text
be at 11.
Me. Yeah, text me. You know, that's how I follow. This just in. Right. Cool. So today obviously is Tuesday, and it always feels like when we have a show on Thursday to Tuesday, like so much happens, you know, in between. So many highlights, because as everybody knows, your cousin Anna, founder of Universal Energy Media, has been staying with me for it's time for you to – no, she's been staying – you know what? It's been so fluid, I don't even know how long she's been here. But that's wonderful. So for I think a little over a week now, and we have about another week left. She leaves a week from tomorrow. And how perfect that World Pride Day was celebrated. I mean, the timing could not have been better. And it's not like I really planned it, but, you know, I happen to co-host a show where I know things. So just to follow, and even for her return trip, which I booked, the time that it comes in works out beautifully with not only your schedule, which, of course, that was prearranged, but with some very time-sensitive DMV issue that she has to take care of. So
right.
It's like, it's brilliant, like brilliant. We know about Atlanta traffic, so to avoid that. But what's so amazing is that the World Pride Parade ended where it terminated literally like a block and a half from where I live. So, of course, how convenient is that? It's like just for Anna. So how perfect is that we really didn't want to deal with the crowds and the chaos and all the mess. They did show it on TV. But just going to the grocery store across the street, we got to see people heading over to the parade all dressed up. We got to see kind of behind the scenes. I took her to different parts of the route prior, like the day before that, where it was like the calm before the storm. It's just absolutely, absolutely perfect. And, of course, I threw a house party. And so much fun. And just easy and being part of it, but without being in it, which was the
best.
That's the best. Which is the best. And both of my kids are now gone doing their thing. My youngest departed on Saturday, and my oldest departed on Sunday. It's the first time in 20 years that I'm going to be kid-free for several weeks. And but it was really funny because I shed a tear for like a second. I shed a tear, and then that night I'm like, my kids, give me another one. Anyway. And and what's so great is to have both of my worlds really mesh effortlessly. They've always been kind of separate, doing the show and my professional cultural life here and then my inner clairvoyance and spiritual, whatever you want to call it, expression. And just really tapping, I always say tapping into the purest part of who I am. And now for those two worlds to mesh seamlessly, so it made perfect sense for my friends to say, oh, your friend Anna, I'm like, right? Or Anna to say, oh, your friend, I'm like, right? And for her to form independent, you know, connections and conversations, very just gratifying and wonderful. And to have her help and support. Like before my youngest left, you know, when you get it, as parents know, you get a kid ready for camp, you have to label everything, you have to, you know, there's a checklist, all those things. And I told Jeremiah, I said, guess what? Now you got another mom. Yay. So she's writing him little notes, little smiley faces, little surprises as he unpacks things. It's so perfect. So perfect, because I, even when I was married, I was doing those sort of things on my own. So it was incredible. I don't think I ever got that kind of help for those details. You know, I'm not talking about the broad strokes, like the basics, like transportation, or, you know, things of that nature. But just this, everything's a detail, the small things and the detail. And so to have someone here, and what's great now, she has her wing and I have my wing because there's no kids in the house. Perfect. my apartment never felt bigger. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, you don't realize how much space these kids take. Oh, my goodness. Right. It's not like a minefield. Like, and I just tripped over a size 12 sneaker. Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
You know, or like a gaggle of, you know, candy wrappers or, you know, whatever. Oh, there's a sandwich under the couch. That's wonderful.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that special? So the transition, the intercom, and I'm glad to transition with someone who I consider family. You know, you guys are my family, and that by the time, you know, she's ready to go, the transition would have been made for me to adjust and feel the peace and the grace and the spaciousness for the healing that us as a family need respectively. And speaking of healing, this has been and I just knew, it's so weird, I just knew even before I knew that all the things that we were going to end up doing, that this was a very healing, going to be a very healing time for both of us, and that we could, for the first time since our respective, I'm going to call it a divorce for her because that's what it is, since our respective divorces, that it's the first time that we can consistently really be, as opposed to like a tearful phone call, like, can you hear me? So listen, this is what happened, right? Like it was, no, and we had phone calls like that. We had, you know, starting 2 years ago, we had phone calls like that where it was really at the worst for the two of us. So to be still dealing with residual issues and the aftermath and things that still go on. If you have kids with somebody, the other person is, for as long as you guys are both alive and you have kids, like that. They're not going away anytime soon, nor should they. Both parents, in my opinion, should be actively involved in the lives of the children. I don't necessarily think that co-parenting is for everybody. It's not for me. Absolutely not. But parallel parenting is. And that's what it's called. It's a thing.
Right.
It's a thing.
Right.
It's a thing. No. It's a thing. No. Thank God I found that. And I found that like in an archive of Psychology Today. And I cut and pasted that thing and I sent it. Like, yeah, this is what we're doing. So, and to give the children absolute support and complete free will as to how much time they want to spend with the non-custodial parent. To be honest, I wish they spent more time with the non-custodial parent, to be honest. Hello. But I'll take a few weeks at camp and a few weeks at a conservatory summer program. So it's healing. It's healing for all of us, healing for, you know, my dear friend who I really do consider a sister, and just the adventures. You walk out the door, it's like, oh, look at people getting ready for Pride. What do we need from the store? Nacho chips. You know what I mean? Oh, look at that outfit. Yes, girl, work. And then we're back in my house. Perfect. So just for that to be just so not caught up in the chaos and the anxiety that would get. Like, we would take these walks leading to the Pride event, but not on actual Pride Day. We knew to keep it. The city was completely gridlocked. But prior to that, we turn a corner, like, oh, let's go look at these quilts for the AIDS quilt from the Caribbean. Mm. Oh, here's some fabric markers, and I can write something for, you know, my ex-boyfriend who died of AIDS. Yay! Like, just event turning the corner. So we turn another corner, and an iconic women's bar. And I'm looking at Anna, I'm like, I'm just kind of curious, social experiment, just want to kind of see how you do. But it was so crowded, we both were like, no. So that didn't happen. People were drinking early. Like, that didn't happen. Well, I just got, like, anxious, just, you know, they really, it was packed and jubilation in the streets, but not for us, which was preferable. But adventures to be had every day. Yeah, and then she came with me yesterday to observe and actually help out, be the timekeeper for a class I was teaching of coaching scene partners for scenes that are going to be filmed for their demo actor reels. And and it was so great. Like, and I just knew, like, yes, look, if you can't get used to a curveball in my industry, don't be in this industry. People will show up and watch. That's it. So I said, yeah, this is my friend and client. She's my client. She founded this platform. She my client. She my friend. I ain't lying. So I'm not. And that was,
You're not.
Yeah. No, that was quite the adventure. And then I asked her yesterday, I said, have you ever gone to a Broadway show in New York? And she said, no. I said, okay. So I go into my, it's called Theater Development Fund website, where you, if you're a member, you can get drastically, if you're in the business or you're retired, or you have to apply for membership. So I've been doing it for years. So we are going to see the Cher show tonight.
Ooh.
And this, the woman who plays Cher, she won the Tony. Unfortunately, like a lot of Broadway shows, it is scheduled to close in the next couple of weeks, if not sooner. And, so her first, how appropriate. And plus, this is so, everything's been so Pride-themed without trying. Of course, we're going to see the Cher show. So I'm looking at the shows. I'm like, oh, would you like to see the Cher show? She said, yes, please. So we're going to do that tonight. And I have a feeling that she'll work her magic in the apartment to, you know, we'll do some stuff together, take advantage of her being here for the next week or so.
Yeah.
And just take advantage of that window of opportunity, because her buddy Amy wasn't able to join us, but I think we can. I think we can move forward in the direction so that when the kids come home, they'll feel the progress and to shift the energy, and to have somebody with her kindness and foresight. You just know what you're good at and what you're not good at. You know, I'm not good at knowing. Well, if we put this there, it's going to change everything. I wish I was good at that. I'm not. I'm like, if you pile everything into the most obtrusive way so that you are literally in pain every time you have to do something, like go in the kitchen or use the bathroom, let's do it, or go to your bed. Let's do it like that. Or it's like, yes, season one of Hoarders Chic. No. Yeah. So to have somebody with that wiring in the brain, like I can talk to dead people, but I can't figure out how to work a space. I just know what I like. So
right.
No, we have our strengths and our weaknesses.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. So yay. Yeah. And I keep telling her, I don't like people in my house. So it's such a compliment. It really is. When I have, like, you know, you guys, it's like family. You guys are family. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful to have family in town. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's been fabulous. Yay.
Oh, I'm so glad. Of course. Uh-huh. Of course it's been fabulous. Anna's fabulous, that's why. So I'm so glad.
Well, she is. Yeah.
I know. I'm so glad she's there, and she's there with you, and
We're laughing, we're crying, we're crying, we're laughing, we're laughing, we're crying, we're crying. We have cried so much.
Oh,
but that's good though, you know, like just the insights that we're gaining from.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's been really profound, and really the first time since her breakup and my breakup that we've really been able to commune, you know, just really be in fellowship with each other, and not this. It would be like a frantic, tearful phone call, rarely, very rarely, or it would be when she would fill in for you. So anytime you're like, you know, is it going to be okay? I'm going to wait for 3 weeks with my family. I'm like, oh, it's so fine. Because this is really the only time. Yeah, it's really the only time that we were able to connect consistently. So this really made up for all of that fragmented communication. And to really, yeah, and I got quite a bit of insight from my perspective, and I know she got quite a lot of insight from my perspective, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's parallels, but there's also opposites involved in our circumstances,
yeah.
which really have helped us learn about insight about the other party involved, or the other parties involved. But, yeah, there's optimism and hopefulness, and that's, you know, that's all we can, you know, strive to have is to surrender. And as Tasha Silver, who wrote this great book, It's Not Your Money, she just believes and she teaches the concept of offering up. I mean, I offer, which is another word for surrender, I offer up what I don't know to source. I offer it up. So, yeah. Yeah, she's amazing. Even if you just follow her on Instagram, very profound. But, yeah, I like her book, It's Not Your Money. I'm like, that's right, it sources money. All right, I can get in on that, you know. How do I get in on that? Can I get a prospectus? All right. So, and to know you're always being taken care of.
Right.
And that the kids are fine. But, you know, whether it's your Anna's children, your niece and your nephew, my kids, we got to offer up. We have to surrender. We have to surrender. It would just kill you otherwise. So just breathe through everything. That's it. So, yeah,
wow.
It's been a really good time. So, yay.
I'm so glad. You know, she helped do a tour when I was out of the country at the end of last year, and sometimes like I don't get to see all the connections, but I drove a tour on Friday that some of those people had been on her tour, and it was a tour that I think
she had
to fill in for.
Right.
But definitely she was in charge because I was gone. And so they remembered her like, oh, yeah, was it your sister? I'm like, yeah, it's my cousin. Yeah, she drove us last time and she was fantastic. And
of course.
And so I love that there was that connection. And they had such high praises. In fact, they couldn't remember her name, but they knew that if they were going to do this tour, they were going to use our company because of her.
See, well, there you go.
And I love that.
I love that. You
and
love
so,
when people make you look good. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it. And it wasn't even that wasn't even the main client. It was just a guest on that first tour.
Uh-huh.
And so she's like, yeah, let me call up my, so it was like they were college friends. Let me call up my friend and find out, you know, who did we use? Because all of this was probably put together within the last week. But they had been sitting on the information for probably a couple of weeks. And they just like, oh, we haven't figured out where we want to go. And then like on Sunday, they pay the deposit. I'm like, oh, I guess we're on again. Okay.
All right.
I didn't know.
I love that.
But it worked out. It worked out that I could do it on that Friday. They were flexible. They said, well, Friday or Saturday. Yeah, Friday's good. Friday's good. I can take you on Friday. And when it's that last minute, you know, unless it's something very, very, you know, easy. And if it's on a Saturday, if it's very last minute, I almost don't want to dump it on somebody because I don't know if they'll
be
available.
Yeah.
But, and this was on a Friday and it was one of those where it's only going to be me and maybe one other person. And I know I can do it. I know I have availability. And then I'm like, oh, but the U.S. is playing. Oh, you know, no,
but you could go out up at the mountain and scream and
I got on
you
the
know,
mountain. Right.
You got on the mountain, girl. She'd be coming around the mountain when the game's over. And don't talk to her during because she's busy screaming up jumping up and down like a maniac. So you get all like that when you want you get all like riled up? You talk to the TV?
I'll yell if it was like a if we almost make the goal or if we make the goal. You know, I'll yell. I'll scream. But otherwise, I'm not. I'm
yes.
not too crazy.
So you say.
But yeah, if I'm with a group of people, then yeah, then we're all wild. So.
Well, of course.
It's a game. It's like there's some people who get into baseball, and I've been able to watch it. It's not the most thrilling for me.
No, it's boring.
It's a game of patience. It's a game of patience. You have to just see how it works, and
it's
you know.
It's boring. It's like golf. I'm like, what? Okay.
Now, you know, like my aunt will watch some of the soccer sometimes with me, but she's like, it just takes, you know, it takes a long time for someone to score. I'm like, yeah, that's the whole point. So when they do score, you're like, thank God, you know, it's cause for celebration because it shouldn't be that easy to score. That's the whole point. You know, that's why they call it the beautiful game. Because you can do everything right, but if you still can't put that ball in the net, then it was just, okay, well, up until then it was great, but you still, like, there's still stuff to do. You know, you're not done yet. And I think because those goals, if it's a really good match, they should be hard to come by. And it makes it all worth it to see how it finally came to be. And sometimes you can, there's a phrase that people had used on a few of these games where you can win ugly. You can win ugly, but it's still
a win. Oh, my God.
And,
it's funny.
And
I never heard that before.
When you watch some of these games, well, you know, now there's more technology involved. They started something called video assistant refereeing, and it's basically they're looking at like an instant replay in football in the NFL. So if it's a goal, they'll just check everything just to make sure that there wasn't something that was missed and that everything was, you know, on the up and up as best as they can. So there were a lot of calls that were reversed looking at the tape, which is, you know, it disrupts the flow of the game. In soccer, it was one of the few games, if the only kind of game where if it's televised, it's 45 minutes for each half, and there are no commercial breaks. You just play. Because and even if somebody gets injured, technically the clock is still ticking. They don't say, oh, we'll take a minute
like
break or a 45-second
stop.
Break. Or football. There's none of that. There's none of that, you know, where someone can, oh, well, while they're taking this timeout, no one can call timeout. While they're taking this timeout, we're going to go to a commercial break. That doesn't happen in soccer.
They don't do that?
You're going to watch
commercials?
No. Not in the run of play. There's a 40, in each half, there's 45 minutes plus whatever extra time they have to take because of injury. And then the halftime is when there's a 15-minute halftime. That's when there's, you know, there are commercials. And that's
it. Oh, okay, that's civilized. All right. Look at what you've done.
Yeah. There's not time to go because they're keeping track. So usually what they call, stoppage time after the 45 minutes, the first half or whatever, even the second half, there's this additional time is put up if it's something that the referee has been keeping tabs on when there's injury. If they have to take, you know, someone has to take a moment, they'll, you know, figure out what's going on, assess whether they need to get off the field for a moment, all that kind of stuff. They'll just take time, you know, celebrations for goals. So they'll take into account all this additional time that has been taken up, and they'll add it to the end of that half. So most games, it's like a minute or two of extra time. But because of the video assistant refereeing technology, that the typical has been like 5 minutes to 7 minutes, and that's not, it's for the referees to kind of look at the video. So that's a lot of extra time to play. And so anything could happen in any amount of time. Anything can happen. You can, you know, your goalie could get an assist and, you know, kick the ball up and someone could score. So you just never know. It's interesting to see, but yeah. So to say, you know, you, that you can win ugly. You know, as the tournament goes on, these players are tired. You know, they can substitute only a certain amount of people, but you know, they're playing games every 3 to 4 days, maybe.
I just love that expression. Like, that's why I was asking you about it.
Yeah.
Because I think it like from a metaphysical perspective, there's something really beautiful about that expression, win ugly, because it's so inclusive of, you know what I mean? Of just like the path, the journeys that we're on, and to Tasha Silver says, to offer up. So when you're offering up everything, it's not to avoid or minimize pain, growth, whatever. Things are going to happen because we need to grow. We need to learn. And if we are offering up, and in that pathway we stumble, we fall down, we scrape ourselves, we take care of ourselves, we heal, we move forward, we generate scar tissue, whatever that means. But at the end of the day, you win ugly. I think that's beautiful. I really like that term. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, it's not one that they say a lot, but yeah, I think for this.
But
tournament,
it's reserved for sport. But it sounds like it's a sport term.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's
never heard of it.
Yeah.
I love it. Just from a metaphysical slant. No, it's fascinating. Not that we're going to touch too much on politics at all, because we really don't do that on this show. But I was very curious, and I only saw it for like a minute, on the second day of the Democratic debate. So many freaking candidates, I have to just split it over 2 days, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But so many. But it's impressive that Marianne Williamson, who ran for Congress for the state of California several years ago and lost, managed to get enough funding and signatures or whatever it takes for those qualifications to participate as a bona fide candidate. Now, when I first heard the news, do I think she's going to win? No, absolutely not. Do I think she's qualified to be president? To be honest, not really. But do I love that her presence is there? I mean, to me, she's winning ugly right now. Because she is challenging the old paradigm and offering that divine frequency of what's possible on the spectrum of awareness. I think I could definitely change my mind, but I'm feeling Kamala Harris because she kind of has it all. But the point being is that you could win ugly without winning, or to fit somebody else's definition of winning. Because at the end of the day, it's not about winning or losing; it's about being. And the fact that she is allowing in her beingness to transcend what people would be commonly exposed to in terms of a perspective. Sure, she could be a scapegoat. They can make fun of her. They can satirize her on SNL. Wonderful. But the fact that she is a presence, I saw a meme today they said 2019, it was a picture of Donald Trump just screaming, looking like he's screaming like a freaking lunatic. Said, you know, Donald Trump spewing hate. 2021, President Marianne Williamson leading a worldwide meditation. So the fact that, and I'm not being negative thinking I don't think she's going to win. I can't imagine our society being, I just can't imagine us being so progressive as a nation. To be so utopian. But the fact that she has support, and the fact that she is introducing concepts based on love, based on humanism, based on forgiveness. And she's tough. So it's not like she's there with the, you know, the days, the ring of daisies in her, her crown of daisies and her tunic or her saffron robe and, you know, and her bindi in the middle of her forehead. She's and she really could, yeah, and if they spoof her in SNL, they probably would, you know, have her, like, full out, sort of like the worst stereotype of someone who is a metaphysical thinker, philosopher. But I love that, winning ugly. I really love that. I think that's really beautiful. and I think it's real. You know, don't you remember maybe like a, I don't even know, maybe like a couple years ago, you're going to know who it is. We got a caller who would tend to compare the successes of very famous people.
Yeah.
Right. Name this caller. Yeah. I can name this caller in like three words. Name this caller. So you totally know what I'm talking about. And she was really upset and alarmed and lamenting the fact that these celebrities, she just made the assumption, made the conclusion that these celebrities had such carefree, pain-free, amazing life. And she cited an example of a celebrity who I know for a fact, because I've seen a documentary about her, and she made it very clear that her life was really difficult. Really, really, really difficult and really painful. But she won ugly. I'm loving this. I'm totally stealing this catchphrase. She won ugly. And for someone to just make the assumption that because we're going to see the press release version of somebody's success or that they overcame, that they won ugly so beautifully that they were able to deal with the suicide of a husband, which is true, hanging up on their mother in an argument the day before she died, is another one about this person that we're, for some reason, I feel like not naming the celebrity. I don't know why, out of respect. I don't know why. having had a relationship with someone with a, she actually lived with somebody who was an amputee from the war with a disability. And she got called out on, and she's a humorist. She was called out on making fun of people with disabilities. And in the middle of a show, she had to check somebody. She said, if I can't laugh at it, what's the point, you know, about this life?
Right.
You know,
right.
And everybody has their spectrum, their threshold of, for, and you have to respect that for themselves personally. When are you crossing the line? Well, it's different for everybody based on what they're exposed to, who they're connected to, and their realm of experience. But to just assume that if somebody... somebody achieved success in your mind, okay, if somebody quote unquote won, why do you think it was like roses, unicorns, and Skittles? Like it really wasn't.
It's not. It's
it never
not.
Is.
Yeah.
It never is. That's not in this human form. We're here to fall down and pick ourselves up and grow and fall down and pick ourselves up some more and spread that message and be living examples of evolution and self-love. You win ugly to get there. That's it. And I think that's beautiful. So it's just so interesting to have these brushstroke assumptions. Well, how come it's so hard for me and for all these people, all these celebrities, you know, they're so successful and they haven't suffered. And you and I were both like, what rock do you live under? Like, really?
Yeah.
And this is someone
who's
notoriously overcome lots of suffering. Like, what planet did you come from? You know? What were you going
to
say?
And what's interesting is that that tends to be the case when you're so in it for yourself, like not in the middle of it, you're just you know, overwhelmed by whatever's happening with you. You know, it, some people look at other people and their success, and they are inspired by it.
Right.
Because they see, I think, a lot more of they saw either they saw the story as it was unfolding, or they had to do a little bit. They had to look a little closer. They had to dig a little deeper and really see
right.
what did all that mean? I think that's probably
right.
why with sports it's something that you can see, especially on every 4 years there's the Olympics, or even
right.
the World Cup.
The journey,
you know, every 4 years there's a World Cup, and so when you have that time, it's like a blessing and a curse that the Olympics and most of those sports that are super popular only at the Olympics. That's the only time you get to see them. Like
right.
you know, who really follows gymnastics or you know,
curling
or
right.
diving or curling?
Right.
Well, there's people now who do, but
right.
But once every 4 years is that showcase, and there's so much hype around it. So when you finally do hear about some Chinese gymnast who was considered too weak to continue, but she had to strap
right.
sandbags to her ankles, and this is a true story, to get stronger.
Wow.
Something that
wow.
we remembered, my brother and I, and it's like what?
Damn.
You know, and of course it's you look at that, and then here they are,
right?
Representing their company, their country on the biggest stage, and all eyes are on them,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just for that once every few days
right.
or whatever. So
right.
So
why do we champion the underdog?
They,
exactly.
Right. Exactly. Or in terms of like the U.S., like the which in some cases they could be considered maybe not the underdog, but let's face
right.
it, there's a lot of resources going in to a lot
right.
of these teams to make it to where they are.
Yeah,
not
so
to
a lot
take
of these
away
other
from
countries,
what they're doing.
Right, third world
that
countries.
That don't have, yeah, there's like, yeah, they had it.
The Jamaican team.
Country.
Right, for the
right.
bobsledding.
Right,
right.
Well, yeah, so you see where there's a lot of inequality.
Disparity,
but they're
sure.
still here.
Yeah. Right.
And so when they do come to that, then we really get, we buy into their story, and we are rooting for them. And you hope that they're nice people, that they're people that you can get behind, because
yeah,
and
you don't want to be disappointed. Somebody
these.
Fall from grace, so you're like, oh man,
it
I really
be,
rooted for you, because that's
yeah.
heartbreaking too.
Yeah, yeah, and then, so then that, but at some point, even to kind of get back to soccer, Hope Solo was one of our best goalies ever. Probably one of the best goalies in the world, and to say best goalies ever, we really had just two main goalies in our very short history of being in women's soccer, and we because we tend to just always play them, and so she is just I think admired for her skill, but she was a hot mess, and she had a lot of. Strong opinions and just had her personal life was a mess. So that has come back to haunt her. And even as recently as, 2 weeks ago, like she's not playing, but she is, I think she is an analyst for this
mm-hmm.
World Cup with the BBC. So she still
right.
is getting her,
she found a way.
Her 15 seconds of fame. And
right.
she's, she has still hasn't changed. She's still, a very much a Leo, very outspoken.
Right.
And, but even then, I was at dinner with some friends, and I think afterwards we were watching a replay of one of the games, and her name was still brought up, and one of I think in terms of who's one of your favorite soccer players, and so one of my friends said, I as a player I really really admired her. I thought she was amazing, and then. And she said, and then she we got to know too much about her, And she said, so it was a little disappointing because I really think she's talented. I just think, it was a little too much. I bet that's what some people say about maybe, Megan Rapinoe, kind of but a little more angry because her stuff is definitely political. It wasn't personal. It was personal and political, right? So it's been interesting to see where people put where people catch you. This is not even look at celebrity, just you in general, like you and me. If people had heard any of the early, like day one show,
oh Lord,
it was rough. Half the time we couldn't tell if people could hear us. We couldn't.
We didn't even know what
other.
The hell we were doing. Yeah.
We didn't. And
no.
Here we are, you know, 10 years later.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no big deal. And it just
no.
comes with that. But we had to, if we got scared or if we were so shot with this, you know, insecurity.
Right.
Early on, we would not be doing this.
No, and the evolution of the skill set that we've been able to practice and master
mm-hmm.
on both of our ends. I would have never thought that, oh, my God, I really am a medium. That's funny.
Right.
Who knew?
Right.
If I didn't do this for 10 years, it would not have evolved so organically. So I want to ask you in the remaining, we have a couple minutes left, any take on the solar eclipse is in Cancer, and it's supposed to be very, very positive. So it's a good idea to do positive healing aspirational ritual. Anna and I think we forwarded it to you. I think Anna might have sent it to you as well. We're going to do that ritual, and you can do it anytime between like June 29th and like July 14th. So there's like a window, which is great, of lighting the candle, burning sage, clearing the energy, writing down what you want to accomplish. But it's very important and very healing. So, yeah. I think we sent that to you last night.
Okay, I don't know if I got it or not, but
yeah,
I'll check it out. I was like, oh, not even. I guess because we're not going to be able to see it as far as the solar.
South America, I think.
See it.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah.
Look into it. Text me or Anna if you didn't get it, and we'll send it to you again. But
okay.
it's a ritual that really doesn't take a lot of effort. So I'm like, sign me up. Anything I could do to support the cause of healing and moving forward and offering up is wonderful. And I will send you the Instagram link to Tosha Silver. I think you'll find it interesting. I just like the concept
okay.
of winning ugly and it's not your money. I just love that. You know, it's just really carving out a portal of consciousness and awareness and being present and not gritting those teeth, not clenching that jaw, lowering those shoulders. And it's funny, I'm lowering my shoulders as I'm saying this, like, because the natural state is that they're fused to my ear and just offering up. I love that. And that's all we really can do, and to enjoy as much as you can and learn from as much as you can and be willing to pick yourself up. And like the soccer player you were just talking about, how she was sort of, you know, banished, and she found asylum, you know, metaphorically speaking, somewhere else, but she's still being true to who she is. I mean, I don't want to get political. Our president is being true to who he is. It's shocking, but he's being true to who he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. I mean, talk about the power of manifestation. There's a price to pay. You're dealing with everybody's free will. So you'll have supporters, you'll have haters, you'll have everything else in between, controversy. So there comes responsibility with being who you are. There's a great responsibility. So how much are you willing to bulldoze over in your path? Or how are you going to spread your message? Of, I think Marianne Williamson, I really don't think, and I'm not being negative by saying that. I just don't think, okay, psychically, I don't think she's going to win. But the fact that, but to me, she has won. She's won ugly. She has won because she is a presence, and that light, even if it's a pinhole of light in all that darkness, it's provocative. And I think for that, in my mind, she has won. So I think
and
I give
and for
yeah.
for her to, this is just like us starting when we started, she
right.
started, you know, and she's done this for a while, and she's been able to adjust and you know, refine a little bit of what her message is. And so, yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I agree. I think she's necessary.
Yes.
She's necessary to change things up.
Right.
And you never know.
you never know.
I think if you looked at Trump, which we did, we're like, no way.
Well, there he is.
So over the top. And
you
then here he is president. You never know.
Don't assume anything, people. If we learned anything, don't assume or dismiss anything. So on that note, well, I hope text me because I'll be rooting for you.
Thank
remotely.
You. For USA.
Yeah.
For the USA.
Go USA. That's right. For USA. Yeah. So if you guys want to get a hold of us, USA.
Oh,
I mean, what's USA? Oh, USA. USA. What's that country?
USA.
USA. USA.
That's, funny enough, that is what they chant before they go out on the field.
USA?
It's USA. Yeah, they chant it. And it's because when they first played their very first World Cup, I think it was a qualifying winner. I think it was in Italy, and then I think the Italians were cheering USA, and they thought it was really funny. So since the early 90s, they've been chanting that in their
circle. Oh, is that right? I didn't even know that. See, I happened to co-host a show where
you're a fan,
and
you didn't even know.
Right. See, USA. I'm a fan. I'm a closet fan. Hello. All right. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And this particular show will be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you
soon.
Too.
Bye, girl. Bye.
Bye.